This is Exodus, the book of Exodus, chapters 19 to 24 is kind of what I've been given as my kind of chunk for this evening. And I'm sure if we were to be on Family Fortunes and we were to be there, the first thing, I don't know, what's he called, the guy who does it now? Vernon Kay. There we go. You watch too much TV. No, I won't go into that. But, so, Vernon Kay's there, and he's like, all right. And he's like, so, we went out, asked 100 members of the public about the law of God. What are the things that people thought of when they did that? And I guarantee you, I'm sure if it was 100 Christians, let's take 100 Christians, because they might know something about it. A little bit more, anyway. Or they should do, maybe. Anyway, so, 100 people, and our survey would probably say, ding, 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 10 commandments. That is your star answer. You've won a brilliant, fantastic break in a French chalet. Great, because it would be a star prize. So, woo! So that would happen, right, because Vernon Kay would do that, and that would be Family Fortunes Christian edition or something like that. Let's hope the day never comes. But there we are. So that's the thing, right? The law, everyone thinks of the Ten Commandments. Everybody thinks about that. And that's probably, that is kind of like the crux of it and all that. But if you read your Bible and you kind of read 19 to 24, we realize that there's so much more to like God's standard. There's so much more to the law, obviously like the whole five first books of the Bible and stuff like that. But in this kind of chunk of scripture, there's so much more to like those 10 kind of like commandments than kind of meets the eye. And basically what happens as you kind of read the passage on, like it goes into the detail, it goes into every single thing about it. So it's almost like the 10 commandments are like the headlines. For instance, in some of the following passages, Exodus 23, verse 10 says this. It says, for 6 years you are about to sow your fields and harvest the crops, but during the seventh year let the land lie unplowed and unused. Then the poor among your people may get food from it, and the wild animals may eat what they leave. Do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove. Now, if you just read the Ten Commandments and just said, okay, let's keep the seventh day Sabbath, the Sabbath, a holy day and all that, then you probably think, okay, you can do that. But basically the whole scripture is like unpacking what God was kind of saying. It was like a whole legal system almost for the people to live by. And that's simply just talking about, that thing of honouring the Sabbath. So what is a covenant in some ways? And why did God put so many regulations and rituals upon his chosen people? For me, if I read scripture, that kind of answers the question for me. In Exodus 19, verse 3, it says this. It says, then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. Now, if they keep the covenant, if they keep the promises, with God, if they obey his commandments that he's set before them, as he states, he will do this for them. It says in Exodus 23, verse 20, it says, see, I'm sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I've prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion, since my name is in him. If you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies and will oppose those who oppose you. My angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, and Jebusites, and I will wipe them out. Do not bow down before their gods or worship them or follow their practices. You must demolish them and break their sacred stones to pieces. Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you, and none will miscarry or be barren in your land. I will give you a full lifespan. Now, to me, that's pretty incredible. That's quite a big bargain. All you have to do is kind of listen to God, obey what he says, and he'll do all of that for you. That's loads. That's crazy. So the old covenant, the old covenant, we talk about the old covenant, we talk about the law, covenant with Moses, and like the law is kind of like, on from that. And this was how to have a relationship with God. It was through, we had a relationship with God through worshipping him, through not worshipping idols, keeping the holy day Sabbath. All these kind of rules and regulations meant, if you kind of followed them and followed their way, you would have a fuller relationship with God than if you didn't. Now for us, it's slightly different. I'll get onto that in a bit. Well, in fact, it's quite a lot different. But there we go. But I think one of the things as I was reading through this passage that I think, kind of God wants to speak to us about tonight is fearing God. Run away. Now, for the Israelites, they had a heck of a lot of reality of what it was to fear God in their lives. So much more so than we do today, really, in my honest opinion. We don't have a mountain submerged in smoke, submerged in fire, right? That, when Moses was summoned up the mountain and stuff, basically this huge horn would sound, a shofar, and like absolutely deafening sound, so that everybody around could hear this horn and everybody around could see this fire that was on this mountain. Now, if I saw that, I'd be like, right, not going to mess with you, because you mean business. I'd be a little bit more scared than I would be otherwise. Perhaps, just perhaps, I'll just give that to you. Perhaps, think about that. If you saw a mountain on fire with this big, like, whoa! Like, you'd be a little bit, okay, God, you mean business. And God did mean business, because God said if you even touch the foot of that mountain, you're going to die. That's like, okay, that's a bit serious. What? Not, I can't even say sorry or anything. He's like, nope, going to be stoned. So that was kind of, in a real kind of way, I know I might take that a bit lightly, but in a real kind of way, in a very serious way, God meant business. God meant, do what I say. If you don't, there's a punishment for it. So if anything, you would think that this whole process would mean, this whole process of like the whole mountain on fire, the whole noisy horn, the whole Ten Commandments, being given to them and everything like that would give them some sort of fear of God inside that they'd say that would help them kind of almost obey his commands. The fear of God, for us, the Bible says it's the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And, I would suggest I know it's totally right. And I think, that the fear of God, if we can grasp some of that fear of God, for us, we don't have it today. We don't have those burning mountains. We don't have those mega loud horns. We do have other stuff, but other stuff, sorry, that's a bit of a lame kind of thing. That's when I couldn't really think of an example of what we have. But, like the fear of God, like if we grasp that, and if we get this thing of fearing God, if we get a reality of what it is to fear God, and it's a strange thing to kind of think, because we think God is loving, God is kind, God is gracious, and God is love. Yet if we grasp this thing of fearing God, and we understand and we say, God, show me what it is, what this reality is that to fear you, because believe me, those Israelites probably were scared witless, when they saw the things that they saw that God had done in their land, that God had done in their people. But if we get this thing of fearing God, our relationship with God will be so much the better for it. It will be so much impacted. If we kind of take that, that thing and we kind of say, okay, God, show me what it is to fear you. Because if we fear God, who else shall I fear? There's nothing else, on this earth You know, we do not fear man, we fear God. And if we get that reality of what it is to fear God, the fears of man will just start being stripped away. They'll just start coming off. God will just deal with them one by one. You know, and we'll understand that there is no point fearing anything else but Him, the Almighty, the Creator of all. Okay? So, now, I don't believe that anyone in this room is Jewish. I don't think so. I can't see anybody who would, you know, kind of from their outward appearance, I would be able to say they're Jewish. Most people who are Jewish, you can tell by their outward appearance. So, there we go. So, we came, you know, all as Gentiles, right, into this thing of Christianity. You know, and besides which, you know, even if we were Jewish, we're born after Jesus was born anyway. Jesus, you know, died and rose again. You know, so we cannot get saved by this thing called the law. You're not Jewish, are you, Pete? No. Okay, I didn't think so. Okay. He just looked a bit like embarrassed or something. Probably more embarrassed now. Yeah, good. All right. So, there we go. So, this thing, you know, for us, the law, what is it? Why do we have this thing in the law in our lives? You know, because I don't live by the law, I live by the Spirit. You know, that is what, you know, the whole thing of this new covenant. Jesus came, you know, so that we could have a relationship with God again, so that all these, I didn't have to follow all these rules and regulations, and didn't have to, like, be treading on eggshells and think, right, okay, I must do all this, and if I break one, pants. Like, you know, Jesus came, and you know, and we're saved by grace. So why then am I talking about the law tonight? Why am I talking about it? What is it, you know, that we can take from it that impacts our lives today as Christians, as people who, you know, who have given their lives to Jesus? And I think, you know, in your Bibles, you know, it says this. It says, you know, in Matthew 5:17-19, you know, it basically says that Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Now, you know, to me, that kind of says that, you know, okay, let's not do away with the law. And if you read Romans, I just encourage you, you know, if you haven't got anything to read this week, read Romans. It's good. It's a good book. You know, and because Paul in Romans talks tons about the law, talks tons about, you know, its significance, you know, in their life, you know, after Christ. You know, we live in AD, don't we? So, you know, talked about the significance of the law in their lives. And I just think, you know, I haven't got time tonight to kind of go into all that Paul says, but there's a lot in there. So I encourage you to read that. And, you know, really, you know, I guess kind of for me, kind of my understanding from that is that the law, you know, the law was placed in place, you know, to lead people. You know, the law is there. And the law leads people, leads me to Christ. Without the law, there would be nothing to lead me to Christ. Does that make sense? Kind of. And I really think it is. You know, following rules and regulations is no substitute for faith. You know, faith is what I need to be saved. Faith in Christ. Faith that Christ, you know, died and rose again for me so that I could be free. You know, but I think, you know, if we look at the law and we look at, you know, the process, the way it goes through and the way Jesus talked about it in the New Testament, the way, you know, he was questioned about it, you know, the law leads me to Christ. I think if I was going to give this, my sermon tonight, a different title, and this is really where I kind of get into kind of where I feel like God's kind of taking us, you know, tonight, is I'll give it this simple title of just freedom to be holy. Because I think, you know, we have freedom, you know, and I think if you really look at the law, you know, for me, it was, you know, it was given to a bunch of guys that were, sorry, I need some water. There we go, bingo. For me, you know, the law was given to a bunch of guys who had just been set free. They'd been set free out of slavery, you know, so the law wasn't to bring them back under slavery again. The law was to set them free, was to give them freedom. You know, and I think freedom to be holy. You know. Okay. You know, I have freedom to choose what to do. You know, and we all have freedom today to choose what to do. We have freedom to choose whether we want to choose holiness, whether we want to choose God ways for our lives, whether we want to choose how God, you know, is calling us to live our lives, or we can choose something else. You know, I have freedom in my life to choose to eat from the tree of life or to eat from the other tree. And the tree of the do's and don'ts of the world. You know, I think we've got to realise, you know, with Jesus coming and before Jesus came, you know, God's intention for everybody before Jesus came was to have freedom. You know, I think, you know, it wasn't so that they had to be bound by anything. You know, God's heart has always been so that mankind would be free, so that we could have freedom to have a relationship with Him, to have a relationship with the Father. Okay. So, for me and for you, where does, in one way, where does the rubber hit the road? You know, in all of this, you know, is it in the way that I choose or we choose to get up and either, you know, simply, and I know this is a bit cheesy, so excuse me for this, but, you know, I have a choice every morning, you know, whether I get up and just flick the telly on and just sit there and, like, eat my, what am I eating at the moment? Crunchy nut cereal. I actually quite like it. I don't like nuts, but I like crunchy nut. I know that's a bit odd. But I have a choice whether to sit there and just watch TV and watch Friends or something mindless, or I have a choice, and this is the cheesy bit, to either watch Friends or spend time with my best friend. Oh, there you go. But in a serious way, I do. And we have that choice. We have that choice. Do we just, you know, fill our lives with things that are going to essentially not last for eternity, that are going to just waste away? Or do I choose to fill my life with the things of God that are going to last for an eternity? I, by a million miles, choose the wrong decision more often than not. But I know the significance of when I choose the right decision, when I choose the ways of God, when I choose God's way in my life, it has an everlasting impact. You know, I have a choice, you know, whether I, you know, walk down, you know, wherever I am really, you know, I have a choice, and we have a choice, you know, to whether we allow the things that we see, the things that come into our, you know, line of vision, whether we allow them to, like, you know, formulate, you know, unwholesome thoughts in our mind, or whether we just throw them away, and whether we ask to say, Jesus, will you show me how to look at these things with your eyes? You know, we have a choice whether to look at things in holiness or to look at things outside of that. And I think there's freedom. You know, Jesus came so that we could be free, so that we could live, you know, in that holiness, so that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we talk about this thing of becoming more like Jesus. You know, do I want a day in my life which is wasted? You know, do I want to waste a day, you know, watching, you know, and it's all right, believe me, it's fine to chill out. You know, God loves it when we relax, God loves it when we enjoy ourselves. You know, but in that, do I choose to make every day stand for something? Do I choose to make every day mean that I become more like Jesus? You know, we say it a lot. We say, oh, you know, I want to, you know, and it's the whole thing of becoming Christ-like and becoming Christians. You know, it's that thing of discipleship, to become more like Him. But do I live every day as if that's my primary goal or not? I don't. And I regret it. You know, so I encourage me and I encourage us, you know, in this thing called life, you know, let's start living every day as it counts. Let's start living every day to become more like Him who died for us. Okay, the biggest thing that I've learned this week, and the biggest thing that I've, might sit down for a bit, I don't know, I'm not tired or anything, but I don't know, just change of posture. The biggest thing that I've kind of like learned this week, on Thursday, I think a few of us in this room were there, but guys from the States came over, they've been doing a tour of Wales, they're from Bill Johnson's church called Bethel in California, in Redding, California. And they have 50 guys on their school of ministry come over with his wife, Benny Johnson, and this guy called Ray Hughes, kind of, you know, leading them round Wales. And on Thursday, they were at City Temple. And in the afternoon, they said, you know, if you want to come, we're going to be going out. We're going to be taking the stuff that we do inside the church, outside the church. So we're going to go out and be prophetic. We're going to go and give words of encouragement. We're going to say, hey, God, do you want to give me a word of knowledge for somebody? You know, and we're going to go out and heal them. Now, it was pretty cool. It's quite exciting stuff. And when you've got an American, now when you've just got somebody, actually, it doesn't matter what country they're from. You know, when you've got somebody who's so bold in this stuff, who's so tested in this stuff, who kind of, you know, this is kind of drummed into them to take the stuff out inside the church, outside the church, you know, which is what we're called to do, by the way. You know, but when they're so used to it, you know, they happily go up to somebody, whereas I'm like, yeah, I see them over there, and I'm going to walk this way. Whereas they're like, oh, you see them over there? Okay. And like, they start walking towards them, and then they just go, hello. And you're like, pants, I've got to say something. Right. And then you say something, and then you say what you feel like God's laid on your heart for that person, that word of encouragement. And that, like, I chatted to one guy who just had a meeting about whether he's going to keep his job or not. You know, we didn't know that before we came up to him, but we just felt like God was saying, you know, there's going to be a lot of joy coming into your life. There's going to be a lot of hope. There's going to be a lot of, you know, God's going to do some incredible stuff in your life. Turns out, by the way, that the guy's from Birmingham, but he's also a Christian, which is good because he kind of knew a bit more about what we were talking about. And we were able to pray with that guy and pray about the security of his future and his family. He was meeting his family, so we prayed for him and his family's future. And I believe every time I pray, God does something. Every time I pray, God does something. Because God's a God who answers prayer. And hears my prayers. And hears your prayers. Anyway, I'm getting slightly tangented. But, you know, on that same day, I should give you another one of the testimonies that we kind of heard on the night. This group of people, we were asked words of knowledge beforehand, right? We're going to pray, ask for a word of knowledge. So ask for a word of knowledge. This one woman saw a picture of an ear. Quite random, some words of knowledge. You know, God doesn't always speak in the Queen's English, just to let you know. A picture of an ear. That is an ear, by the way. It's not, it's a hand, but it's an ear. Picture, I'm going to act them all out now. Picture of an ear. Picture of a bench. And picture of twigs. So there we go. So that's what this woman had. And she was like, that's a bit random, God, but okay, I'll take that out. And this other guy who she was with had a picture of a bench with a man sitting on it and a tree by and a tree. Be a tree. By it. And anyway, so they went out and they were like, okay, well, you got that picture. Let's go together. So they went together. And they went into the park and they saw this man and they're like, cool, there's a man over there, that's brilliant. And there were twigs by his feet and he was sat on a bench and he had ears and there was a tree by him, so that was good. Everything was like, God, this is making sense. So they went up to the guy, just started chatting to him, started chatting about, you know, some of his life and stuff. But just, you know, then this woman came out with this question, you know, just said, you know, do you have any problems with your hearing? Do you have any problems, you know? And he was like, no. It's like, ah, okay, that's all right. But he goes, stay there for five minutes, I'm going to be back in 5 minutes. 5 minutes later, comes with his housemate, right? And his housemate is deaf in one ear. Really can't hear very well out of one of his ears, as far as I kind of recall the story. Others that were there may correct me, you know, jump in. But anyway, Lo couldn't really hear in his ear. So they were like, okay, well, you know, this is who we are. This is what we're doing today. Can we pray for you? Yeah, you can pray for me. That's cool. So they prayed for the guy. And without, you know, them, you asked, you know, how much better is it? You know, is it 50% better or whatever? Without saying anything, this guy, they prayed for his ear, you know, be healed, you know, hearing come in Jesus' name. You know, deaf ear be opened in Jesus' name. And this guy just goes, wow, that's like 50% better. And they're like, wow. Okay, God. And he's like, 50%. And they're like, God's a God of 100%. So can we pray again? And the guy was like, yeah, I'm glad he said yes. Anyway. So he said yes, and they prayed again. Deaf ear be fully opened, be fully restored. Yeah, come on, Jesus' name. And this guy goes, it's 100% better. I got my hearing back in that ear. That's incredible. That happened on Thursday in Cardiff. Praise God. God's a God of 100%, and God's a healing God. And that, to me, was just awesome. And that's just incredible stuff, you know, happening on the streets of Cardiff. But for me, the biggest thing that I took away from that day was actually something else. It was when they talked about, you know, how we kind of approach people, you know, how we do things, how we interact with people and stuff like that. The biggest thing that they said was, you know, you want to respect your fellow man. You want to pay the utmost respect to your fellow man. And for me, when we talk about the law and we talk about all the things that the law is, you know, and it's like basically, essentially, loving God and loving other people, you know, all the law, if you read it through from 19 to 24, you read all this thing about how people interact with people. And all the law sets out, a lot of it is how people interact with people. So for me, I think God sees it as important as how we interact with one another. Okay? So the biggest thing that I took away was, you know, just to respect your fellow man. You want to be like God. You want to be Christ-like in that. You want to do as Jesus did. People felt no judgment around Jesus. They were drawn to him because he just didn't judge them. They felt judgment everywhere else. But the prostitutes and the tax collectors and the people who nobody really paid respect to in those places in Jesus' time came towards him because he showed them no judgment. He showed them love. He showed them love. He didn't lead them through a sinner's prayer. You know, I don't know if you know that, but when Jesus met people, he didn't say, right, okay, by the way, I'm Jesus, I'm going to lead you through the sinner's prayer and then you're going to get saved. He simply was love. He was love, and they encountered love. When you met Jesus, you encountered the fullness of God's love. Now, when people meet me, I want them to encounter as much of God's love as possible. You know, I want them to have an encounter with love. And if they have an encounter with love, they have an encounter with God, because it's the Bible says God is love. Make sense? Yes? Still with me? Wave your hand if you're not sleeping. Good. Good. The sleeping person has been found. Okay. All right, let's move on. So, you know, Paul puts it simply as this, you know, about this stuff of love. He says in Romans 13, verse 8, and this is an important bit, says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbour as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbour. Therefore, love is the fulfilment of the law. And that's where we're at, really, today. That's where all of us are at, you know, in terms of this, in terms of where we stand with the law. And I think, you know, we are impacted by it, by this law. And if I, you know, if more time, you know, like I said, if you've got more time this week, you want to start reading Romans and you want to start understanding where this thing of the law kind of fits into our relationship with God, because it will strengthen it. Now, there we go. Before we close, before we kind of, you know, move on from me talking, I just want to give you a story that is about to happen in my life. Now, this story starts with me. I was born, and then I got older, and then I started to shave, and then I got married, and then I stopped shaving so much, and then got married, and then we're going to have a baby. Yay! So I'm going to be a dad come September, if you didn't know, FYI. So there we go. So, come September, I'm going to look just as awake because I probably don't look that awake anyway. But there we go. So that's the start of my story. The start of my story is this little baby, my baby, is going to be born. And when it's born, I'm going to love it, I'm going to cherish it, I'm going to cuddle it. Sorry, I'm in Wales, I'm going to kutch it, and kutch it all up, and we're going to have lots of nice times, being mum and dad, and we're just going to love this child, this, God's gift, God's provision in our lives. We're going to love it to pieces. And, so that's where the story starts. Then this baby gets a little bit bigger, a little bit older, starts to walk, starts being a toddler, starts to crawl, and then occasionally, let me go back to my notes just so I remind myself some things. As this baby gets older, as it starts crawling, starts walking, I start to put boundaries in its life. I start to say, you can do that and you can't do this. You can crawl, that's fine, but you can't do what I did and crawl up to the fire guard and put your hand on it, and you can't get the crystal wine glasses out and play the drums and cut your artery and give your mum a heart attack, because otherwise you'll ever end up with scarred hands like me. And that's not a good idea, little toddler. So I'm going to put boundaries in its life, and I'm going to say, don't do that. That's wrong. That's not advisable. I love you so much that I don't want you to burn yourself. I don't want you to cut yourself. I don't want you to hurt yourself in any way. And if I see you going up with another toddler, whispering in their ear, saying, touch the fire, I'm going to tell you that's not a good idea either, because they're your fellow man and you've got to love them to bits. Okay. So, as we go on, they might, have become older. They become older, and they become like a teenager. And when they're a teenager, they're gonna. It's one teenager, and they're going, "I'm a teenager." Good. So they become a teenager, who are fantastic, and they go out. And they're going to say, all right, Dad, I'm going out. And I'm like, no, you're not. No, I'm like, yeah, you can go out, but you've got to come back at 9 o'clock. And they're like, oh, Dad, 9 o'clock, what? And you're like, yes, 9 o'clock, that's when you're coming home, because I'm Dad, and that's what I say so. So what I say goes, because I'm Dad, so ha. So there we go. And they're going to go out, and if they're good, and if they say, okay, pants, better obey Dad, otherwise he'll set a mountain on fire and, make this loud horn. No. But better obey Dad, because Dad's the boss, and Dad's the one, that loves me, that provides for me, provides for my needs. And, better obey him. So I obey him, if I'm a teenager. Now, that teenager, one day, maybe, if I'm having a less scary moment, might go out and might be like, Dad, what time do you want me in? And I go, 9 o'clock. And they'll be like, okay, 9 o'clock. And then they go out and they stay out till 10. I'm waiting, tapping my foot as they come home. I don't know. And I haven't really thought this far ahead or this imaginatively. We're enjoying the pregnancy bit at the moment. But if they come back late, if they come back late, and I'm going to say, right, came back late, no pocket money all this week. And they'll be like, oh, Dad! I don't know, that's my teenager impression, I don't know why. Too much Kevin and Perry. But anyway, so they come back, and I'm going to say, right, there's consequences to your actions. You disobeyed, the rules and regulations that I put in your life. I probably won't be this, blah, 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 blah. But I'll be like, right, you disobeyed me, you disobeyed your mum, so, there's consequences to your actions, you've got to realise that. And they'll be like, oh, okay. Now, as we go on, and as we go on in life, with God, as we go on, back to the room, as we go on with life, as we go on with God, we kind of realise, and for me, if I'm honest, this has taken me a journey, this has taken me a process of realising that becoming a Christian and being a Christian isn't about doing good and not doing bad. It's not about laws and regulations. you know, when I was younger, I probably thought at stages that that's what it was about. But as I grew older, as I matured, and as my relationship with my Father in heaven, my Papa, grew, I realised that, you know, some of those things that he suggested for my life were there for my own good, so that I didn't hurt myself and I didn't hurt others. And, you know, that's kind of like, hopefully, what it will be like, you know, with me and my child. And, you know, kind of as this relationship progresses, as this relationship goes on, you know, there'll be a day, I hope, when the child, or, you know, when my child, when my kid realises that, you know, he doesn't have to obey these set of rules and regulations just because Dad says so. But they choose to obey this, obey them. They choose to obey what I've put in their life because they love me. The turning point in the relationship happens when they start being obedient out of love and not out of necessity. And that's like it with us, with all of this, you know, with where we stand in terms of the law, where we stand in terms of living by the Spirit, you know, we have a choice, you know, and we can do it out of love or we can do it out of necessity. And the things that I want to do is do it out of love. I want to love God to bits so much that I'll do anything that he asks of me. That make sense? Okay. Good. Right, just about to pray. You know, so we have this choice, like I said, to live by love. And if there are things that are highlighted to you tonight that, you know, that are creating a barrier between you and God, you know, if there's things in our lives which basically stop us from having this relationship, if there's friction in that relationship, then I encourage you tonight to get it sorted, to get it dealt with. I encourage you tonight to say, okay, this has been going on for too long. You know, I love you, my Dad, in heaven. I love you. And I want to get this sorted out in my relationship. And those are things that are barriers between us and him. That every time we come to him, we feel this thing coming, you know, can't get as close to you as I want to get because I've got to deal with this stuff in my life. You know, whether that's, you know, whatever that might be, I think you kind of know what I'm talking about. Because I think that God will set you free, and I think the Holy Spirit will set you free, and I think you'll be able to live in the fullness of a loving relationship with God, your Father, in heaven. So let's pray. Let's activate ourselves. So let's stand. Let's stand. Everybody stand. Sam and the Luke Smith trio of sorts and Heather Bell come up. I'm going to lead in worship. I just encourage you. We're a small group tonight and I would just encourage you just to turn to one of your friends, actually. If you don't want to turn to one of your friends, find somebody who you think might look slightly important.